Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Hallelujah. Isn't God so wonderful? I love revival, I can tell you now. It's the most amazing thing that's ever happened to the body of Christ was when the Lord come and shook us in 93 and just spread this move of God across the nation and around the world. And I tell you right now, hundreds of thousands have been impacted by the power of God that fell back in 93. I mean, hundreds of thousands. I know our life is never the same. And I know there's a lot of people here tonight. Their lives are never the same because of what God did back in 93, 94, 95, and what He's done since then. Amen. And I believe that that was all like a preparation. God was preparing us. You know, I think one of my biggest concerns for revival is this, that God would not find any hungry or any desperate that would press in. And so God would wait for another generation. I think that's my biggest concern. I don't have a fear about it because we're pressing in anyway. And I know there's many that are, but there's many that aren't. There are churches that were touched in the 90s that are so far away from the move of God. Right now, today, are you listening to me? So far away. They've gone totally what we call seeker sensitive. In other words, they come up to please man instead of pleasing God. That went away from the move of God into, you know, pleasing man. And God can't work in, God doesn't operate in that atmosphere. Are you listening to me? It's either we're going to surrender all to Him or we're not. And then we're going to be in control. And then God can't do anything that He wants to do. Amen. That's why I'm so excited to find people that are hungry and thirsty like we find here at Calvary Cathedral. Listen, it's not common. Hello? You can go down to the river at Tampa Bay and there's a whole bunch of hungry people there, but then that's a revival church. But you can go down the road from the river at Tampa Bay and there's many dead churches around there. Oh, you listen to me. You can travel around Texas. Yeah, we've been around. There's a bunch of dead churches. Now, they might say we want revival until you show up, and then that's not what they're wanting. Hello, we want the move of God. Then you show up with the move of God. No, actually, this is not really what we're looking for. Well, what are you looking for? A packaged move of God? Something we can release at a certain time? A structured move of God? You want a structured move of God? Hello. I don't even know what they call it, a schedule or whatever. I don't have a schedule for the meeting. There's nothing on the pulpit that tells me you should do this and that time and this and that time. There's nothing here because that's not the way we operate. But see, ministers want that because it brings structure to the meeting so that people know where they're at. But at the same time, they want God to show up and move. God's not showing up on your schedule. I said, God's not showing up on your schedule. You know, we only do church like we do it because we've been taught to do it that way. Think about it. Our forefathers, and they taught the next generation, and then they taught the next generation, and then that generation taught us, and now we teach the next generation on how to have church, how to grow a church, church growth seminars. Really? We got to go to church growth seminars so we can copy what somebody else has, the plan and the idea that they have to grow a church? Do you think the Holy Spirit knows exactly how to grow Calvary? Do you think the Holy Spirit knows exactly how to grow all these other churches in the Metroplex without man getting involved? Hello? Sure He does. I believe God has the plan that God has for our life, even though we're revivalists and we carry the anointing of God, and my brother's a revivalist and he carries the anointing of God, it's two different plans. We have two different plans. Oh, you listen to me. He has a plan to do whatever He's doing, and God's given us a plan to do whatever we do. I've not even taken the time to share the vision yet because I don't want to distract from what God's doing here in this place. But let me tell you what, the vision that God's given us is huge. I sometimes sit back and go, God, are you crazy? Why us? I'd rather just be out on a horse somewhere. Oh, you listen to me. No, the bottom line is this. You know, we want to do whatever God wants us to do, but our vision and my brother's vision and somebody else's vision and another revival, they're all different. God has another plan for everybody. Sometimes they overlap in little areas, but the thrust of the vision is totally different. Are you listening to me? I don't want to do what he does. Are you listening to me? I don't want to do what he does. I mean, listen, it's hard enough being a Basil, let alone trying to be a Rodney. Hello. I just want to do whatever God wants me to do the way God wants me to do it. Amen. And God has taken us on different roads and in different places, and some of our paths have crossed a little bit, like Calvary, but the bottom line is at the end of the day, we are doing what God has called us to do. That's the key. And we have to do it the way God tells us to do it. Are you listening to me? I don't believe we are to build a church and use the structure that another church used because they grew and did whatever, and now we're going to go and copy that and make it a blueprint in our place. I don't believe that's the way God works. Because you see, every one of us could be running with revival in the house, and every one of us could be doing it in a different way. We're not the same people, we're different people. So God takes that personality of that person and uses that person's personality and drops an anointing on it and then uses you in that way. So in other words, we never have to be like somebody else. Amen. We don't have to strive to be like somebody else. The only one we strive to be like is Jesus. That's all. We all want to be like Jesus. Hello. He's our example. He's the one that we press in for, and we take him as an example. We're not taking man as an example. Are you listening to me? And at the end of the day, if everybody in the body of Christ did what they were supposed to do, when we all stand before the Lord one day, we'll see how this whole thing dovetails together to touch the nation and touch the world. Amen. Some people are called to travel the world. I mean, we've traveled some around the world, but I don't have a desire to go anywhere else but America. I don't have a desire. I mean, you know, people say, don't you want to travel the world? No. I already am. I'm traveling the world of Texas. Hello. I'm already traveling the world. I've been all over the world, but I don't have a desire to go to other places in the world. I have a desire to see America shaken by the power of Almighty God. That's what God's put in my heart. Others travel the world, and some travel America, but that's for me. I got to travel. I got to do what God tells me to do. Are you listening to me? So everybody's plan is not going to be the same. Now, let me say this. The administration of the anointing will not be the same, but the end result, a lot of the end results are always the same. Because the joy is the joy. Hello? I said the joy is the joy. I mean, you can get joy in my brother's meeting, you can get joy in my meeting, and it's the same joy. Because it's the same Holy Spirit. Just a different administration. Are you listening to me? You know, just do what God tells you to do. Just go with the Holy Ghost. Just do what he tells you to do. Flow with the Holy Ghost. He knows what's going on. Amen. He knows what's going on. Look at this in verse 27. It says, but God has chosen the foolish things. I don't know why I said all that to then start reading this scripture. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. You know, listen, if we're going to be foolish for God so that the wise can be confounded, I'm okay with that. Hello. I said I'm okay with that. I met people that look very holy, but really what they are is very religious. Hello. Come on now. And when you look at their life, listen, I've met people that know the word, but they're very dry, very dead. They know the word, but they're very dry, very dead. And I'm looking at this. I know the word, but I have something on the inside of me that's bubbling, this excitement. There's an anointing moving around on the inside of me. I'm full of the joy of the Lord. I'm blessed of the Lord. Why would I want to be dead? Hello? Amen. It's when we follow religion that's how we end up. That's why there's so much freedom in revival and the move of God, because of the Holy Ghost. I want Holy Ghost. I want Holy Ghost. I want Holy Spirit. If we can't have Holy Ghost, then I don't want to have anything. Hello. If Holy Spirit's not welcome to show up, then I'm not welcome either. That's the way I look at it. That's why we punch it on a Sunday morning, because the bottom line is this: I can't water down a Sunday morning service so that I can try to get people back on the Sunday night, because they'll come Sunday night, they'll get upset. So we might as well just get them upset right from the start. Are you listening to me? So that at least Sunday night we can have a move of God. Amen. I was in a church one day, and the pastor said to me, "Would you take up a Sunday morning offering?" He came to me right in the Sunday morning service. He said, "We take up a Sunday morning offering." I'm like, "Do I have to?" He said, I'll receive yours. You receive the church offering." I'm like, "Okay." Now, I knew the people didn't like me. I knew that already. I've been there for 4 or 5 days. I knew they didn't like me. So I thought, "Oh, well, they already don't like me. They're going to hate me after this morning." Because I got up and started preaching out of Malachi chapter 3, talking about thieves. That went over well. I mean, you could cut the atmosphere with a knife. I really thought I should just text my wife quickly and say, "Hey, get the truck running. Because I think after the meeting, we're just going to run. Because I think these people might want to lynch me." I mean, that's what I felt. You could feel the daggers coming at you at the platform. And I'm like, "Hey, don't get upset with me. I'm just telling you what God said. If you want to get upset with anybody, get upset with God. It's His word. I'm just repeating it. Hello?" But you see, a lot of people won't do that because they don't want to upset the people. And listen, if I don't preach the word and compromise the word, then I'm upsetting God. So who would you rather please? Amen. Don't compromise the word because you're afraid of what people might say. Preach the word. Preach the word. Don't compromise the word. Because when you compromise the word, then you compromise the anointing. And without the anointing, nothing's going to happen. And we're just going to have another dead meeting. And how many of you know, my God, we've had a few of those over the years before revival. Can you say amen? It says over here, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are." Sounds like to me God has a sense of humor. Hello? I said, sounds like to me God has a sense of humor. Listen to this, verse 29. "The reason being is that no flesh should glorify in His presence." No flesh should glorify in His presence. See, whatever God does in the meeting, it's all glory to God. All glory and praise and honor go to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. People come along and say, "Man, I'm so glad you saved that person." "No, I didn't save anybody." "Man, it's so great to see how you healed." "No, I didn't heal anybody. I couldn't heal anybody. Couldn't heal a fly. And if a fly comes around me, it's dead anyway. So I'm not going to be healing a fly. Are you listening to me? It's not about us being the healer or the savior. It's about Jesus. Are you listening to me? I humble myself before the mighty hand of God, and I thank God, and I bow down before Him and say, "God, it's only You. If it wasn't for You, we'd see nothing happening." Because it's all about Him. It's all about Jesus. We just happen to be the donkey braying in this tin barn here tonight. Hello. We just happen to be the vessel that's carrying the anointing. But it's not our anointing, it's God's anointing. And He chose to release that anointing into our lives and set us free so we can become carriers of God's anointing down here on this earth. But it's His anointing. I've met some very arrogant ministers over the years. I'm telling you right now, incredibly arrogant. We had revival in Seattle one year, and a pastor and his wife who were down and out and brokenhearted, they come in the meeting. God totally, radically set them free. I mean, just touched their life and changed their church and blessed their church. And 3 months later, I went back into that same area to another church, and I was on TBN on the Friday morning, and I walked into the green room to get ready. And that pastor that got set free in those meetings, he was there. And when he saw me, he'd jump out of his chair and come, and he was about yay big. You know, so I just kind of looked at him like this. And he come running up to me, and he stood right in front of me and said, "Listen, we don't need you here anymore. We got this anointing." I just looked at him, smiled, and then, I'm just kidding. I just looked at him, smiled, and said, well, you know what? The good news is, I didn't come here for you. I came here for those that don't have it. Hello? And he just turned around and went and sat back down. I thought, wow, where's that arrogance come from? The last time I saw you, you were crying at the altar, weeping with your wife because you were losing everything. Then God touched your life, changed your life, filled you with the Holy Ghost, set you free, blessed you financially in the meeting. I mean, God turned the, literally in front of us, turned their whole life around. Boom. Ministry around. Boom. Church around. Boom. I mean, just totally, radically. I mean, it was amazing to watch. And then 3 months later, he's running around with all this arrogance. Like, I've arrived, we don't need you anymore, praise God. Well, I didn't hear of any great move of God coming out of the Seattle area. And he was there. Hello? I did hear of a lot of confusion going on in some of the churches, but I didn't hear of any great move of God. Are you listening to me? When we elevate ourselves, I'm telling you right now, we're about to come down. Pride comes before a fall. Amen. That's why I always humble myself about what God's doing in the meetings, and I'm always in awe at what God does, because it's God doing it and it's not me. And I could not do what He does. I can only be instructed by Him, and when I lay hands on people, it's not my anointing, it's His anointing flowing through me to touch the hearts and lives of others. Are you listening to me? The last thing we want to do is elevate ourselves. Are you listening to me? Last thing we want to do is elevate ourselves. We go to meetings and listen, I don't care about sitting on the front row. I mean, I sit in the back row. I don't care. I've been in churches before where they want us on the front row, and I'm sitting back there and going, no, we're fine, yeah. I mean, I went to a church one day and the place was full, and I went and sat up in the balcony, and the usher saw us up there. He came running up. No, you got to come sit in these chairs on the front row for you. I'm like, no, we're fine here. No. So we had to get out the balcony and go sit on the front row. And the pastor's like, listen, there's always seats on the front row for you. Don't go sit in the balcony. I'm like, can I just hide sometime? He said, okay, just, you know, I don't have to sit on the front row. Hello? But some people, that you know, they all connive to get on the front row. My God, can we get on the front row? Praise Jesus. You know, go to the usher, hey, it's $50. Can you give me a seat on the front row? As if God starts in the front row. Now, if you're sitting on the front row, don't worry about it. You're entitled to it, and you're blessed. Amen. I'm not picking on anybody in the front row. I'm just saying, for me personally, I don't really care about the front row. Amen. We go down to visit my brother. He always puts us on the front row. I don't really have to sit on the front row. I can sit 5 rows back or 10 rows back. Holy Ghost is all over the place. Hello. You know, put a moustache on and put a wig on and go in disguise. Amen. Trouble is the preacher might be picking on you to get saved all the time. You need to get saved. You with a moustache. Are you serving God? Yeah, it's me. Amen. That no flesh should be glorified in His presence, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Hallelujah. That according as it is written, he that glorifieth, let him glory in the Lord. Amen. All praise, all honor, all glory goes to God. Amen. You know, there's coming a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There's going to be times in heaven. I mean, listen, it might be a day or two or three. You know, that's like 2,000 or 3,000 years. Amen. Hello? Amen. 1,000 years is about a day under the Lord. So we could be worshiping God for 1,000 years. Imagine that. Amen. Worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Isn't that going to be wonderful? Yes. Isn't that going to be just amazing? Hello? Yes. I mean, we might as well just start down here on this earth. Yes. Get rid of our pride. Get rid of whatever we think we are. And just humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God and let Him exalt us. Let Him lift us up. Hello. We as ministers are no better than anybody else. We just chose to be, you know, dumb enough just to believe God at face value. What he said in the word is obviously so, and we believed God and went out and did it. That's all God's looking for. He's just looking for people that are just dumb enough to say, God, I believe you. If you said it in the word, then that's fine. I believe you. It's settled. I'm going to go do what God said. Amen. Hello. It's not special people. God's not picking special people. God's just picking people that will humble themselves and are hungry and thirsty and would allow God to change them on the inside. Because that's where it's got to start. Amen. You can have a name for a ministry. You can have a business card. You can have an office. You can have all that stuff. But if you don't have the anointing, you don't have a ministry. Hello. Going to Bible school is not the criteria for the call of God. I know many Bible students that are not doing anything for God today, because they weren't called of God, but they went to Bible school. Nothing wrong with that, but that's not a criteria for the call. Amen. I had people running around at Bible school asking me what I was. I'd say, I'm a Bible school student. No. When you get through Bible school, what are you going to, you know, what are you? I'm like, well, I believe we're going to evangelize, but you know, I'm not an evangelist now. I'm a Bible school student. And they were running around calling one another pastors. Oh, pastor this, pastor that. I'm like, you have a church? Oh, no, I'm a Bible school student. Oh, you're not a pastor. You're a Bible school student. No, I'm a pastor. God's called me to be a pastor. Oh, so you have a church? No. Well, then you're not a pastor. Hello. It's not about the title. Title doesn't make anything. You know, I can go and get a business card printed with prophet on it. Does that make me a prophet? Oh, let me give you my card. Prophet. Ding-a-ling. And let me tell you something, the fivefold ministry is not part-time either. It's full-time. Hello. I met a guy one day and he wanted to meet with me after a meeting. The sad thing was here in Texas, not in Fort Worth, down in Houston. But he came in the meeting and wanted to meet me, so I met him after the meeting. And we were talking about stuff, and then he started telling me, he said, I'm a prophet. I said, oh, okay, great. He said, but I'm part-time. A part-time prophet. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm thinking to myself, well, you're on now or you're off now? What? I mean, what's the deal with your prophetic ministry at the moment? Is this the time you're off or you're on? I'm not sure. So, part-time prophet. You know, I had just done a morning meeting. I was tired and I didn't have the time to say, look, you can't be a part-time prophet. You're either a prophet or you're not. So he says part-time. Anyway, so we got talking, he left, and then about 2 days later was the last day of the meeting, and we're gonna baptize like 550 people that night. I was going to be on TV. I mean, I was tired, and he wanted to go to lunch. He sent one of my guys, he said, go ask Basil if you go to lunch today. I said, I can't go to lunch. I've got too much on my plate. Last day, we've got to get all this stuff done. So he sends my guy back to me and says, tell Basil that if this was Jesus, he'd make time for me. So I told him, I said, go back, tell him I'm not Jesus. And I said, if he wants to go to lunch with Jesus, tell him to call Jesus up and take him to lunch. But I'm not going to lunch with you. Hello. Part-time prophet. Look, if you want to wait another... Look, it's 9:03. I come on duty at 9:15. Then the prophetic gift kicks in. I'll be on duty then. It's just the way my day goes. Amen. Really. I'm a part-time evangelist. I can only evangelize at certain times of the day. If I'm not on, then I'm not on. Hello. You see something wrong with that? We're not part-time believers. We're not walking with the anointing part-time. Hello, either you're anointed of God or you're not anointed of God. Either you're a prophet or you're not a prophet. We want a title. We want a title. Hello. Bishop. Apostle. Well, people love apostles. Oh, use apostle. Ooh, yeah. And that of a prophet. Prophet is like the big thing. If you can be a prophet, you have it going on. Evangelist, well, you know. Teacher, oh my, really? You're only a teacher? Oh, you're a pastor? Yeah, I knew one of those at one time. But a prophet, oh my God, yeah. I like that. It's all about the title. Who cares about the title? Bible says you know them by their fruits. You not know them by their title. Hello? You don't go into an orchard and look at a tree, and on the tree, in the bottom of the tree, there's growing a sign that says, I'm an apple tree. Or I'm an orange tree. Or I'm a lemon tree. You wait to see what fruit it bears. Then you can look at the tree and go, oh, that's a peach tree. Oh, that's a lemon tree. You can see the fruit. You don't need a title to say, this is what I do for the kingdom, because you'll see the fruit. Hello? People say, what do you do? I'm a missionary. I'm just a missionary. Blessed of the Lord. Happy to be doing missionary work in America. That's what I am. We're missionaries. We're missionaries to America. Hello? And whatever else God does in the meeting, that's fine. If he uses me to prophesy, that's fine, because he does. If he uses me to heal the sick, that's fine, because he does. If he uses me to restore marriages, that's fine, because he does. If he uses me to bring joy in the house, that's fine, because he does. I mean, whatever he does, I'm fine with it. Hello. All glory and honor and praise goes to him. Goes to God. Pastor Bob could not have done what he's done for the last, how many years is it now? 50? Huh? 52 years. He could not have done what he's done for the last 52 years without the Holy Ghost. Are you listening to me? And not have impacted the Metroplex like he has over these many years. It's impossible. You have to be hooked up with somebody to be impacting. And listen, so people have got upset with him. So what? Who hasn't? The devil's upset with him too. Hello? So people upset, the devil's upset, let them go hang out together. Hello? Because the moment you let the Holy Ghost in the house, then it's going to upset somebody. And when you let the Holy Ghost in the house, it's going to upset the devil. So, hey, let them go keep company together. Amen? But you can't do what he's done over these many years without the Holy Ghost. And I can tell you right now, you know, and I told this to Pastor Bob, there's some men of God that have traveled the nation around the world, you know, just to name one or two of them, you know, Kenneth Hagin, what an amazing man of God. What an example to the body of Christ. I mean, the man is a squeaky clean man. You know, it's very hard to find squeaky clean preachers. Are you listening to me? But he's a squeaky clean, great man of God. You know, Kenneth Copeland's another one. I mean, all these guys, Jerry Savelle, these guys live a good life. Are you listening to me? They're a good example to the body of Christ. I take Pastor Bob and put him right in that mix. Amen. That's what I do. Now, he goes, oh, come on, man. But I put him right in that mix. Are you listening to me? And what he's done over the years, it has a great impact on the body of Christ, even greater than what he knows. Because there's people that have come through Calvary that have been touched by the power of God, that have gone somewhere else, that might be out of sight, out of mind, and nobody contacts one another. But one day we stand before God, and then he sees what the ministry really did for the kingdom. And I believe it's big. I believe it's huge. I do believe God wants to wave his hand over this place one more time. I do believe that. I do believe that. I do believe that. If we humble ourselves and pray and seek the face of the Lord and cry out with a hungry heart, God's going to move in this place in such a great and powerful way. And I can tell you right now, this place will be filled with hungry people. Because I believe there's coming another wave of the glory of God. I really believe that with all my heart. I don't know what's going to happen to the church down the road or down across the way or across the river. And I don't know what's going to happen down there. I know what's going to happen over here because there's hungry, thirsty people that are pressing in for the touch of heaven. Now, I do know when revival hits us, it's going to flood the banks and it's going to run like a flood all over the place, and many churches are going to get touched by the power of God. So it's not going to just be in one location. But I do know God's going to move in a very powerful way right here. Look, I just want to see God move. I want to see God shake. I want to see God shake America. We need America shaken by the power of God. We need the church shaken by the power of God. We need it. We've got to have this. Because there's a design on America. I'm telling you right now, there's a design on America to take America down. And I can tell you right now, as long as God's in control and as long as they're hungry and thirsty people that'll press into the things of God, God's not going to allow that to happen. And we saw that happen over the last few months when our president got elected. It came right out of the, I mean, even though some of us knew it was going to happen by the Spirit, let me tell you what, it shocked a whole lot of people. And they're still messing with him. They're still tampering with him. But let me tell you what, God's not done yet. I said, God's not done yet. God has a plan for the church, the body of Christ. And he's going to raise us up in these last days. And we're going to see some things happen that have never, ever happened. I believe we're going to see a move of God come in the schools. I really do believe that. I believe it's got to go into the grassroots of America. And the grassroots of America are our youth. That's the grassroots of America. Our universities is our grassroots of America. Our schools, our public schools, is our grassroots of America. Because here's the thing, if we can get the youth on fire for God, saved, healed, delivered, and set free, then let me tell you what, America has a powerful future ahead of them. Because that is the future of America. Amen. That's the future of America. That's why we have to see revival come. God's going to come, bring revival in the church, set the church free, and equip the church to go. And get into the highways and the byways and the schools and the prisons and wherever else God could open the doors for us to go so we can see a great revival come. And it just starts in us. Just, God, I'm hungry for you. God, touch me. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. That's where it starts, right on the inside of us. And then the transformation comes on the inside of us. And then we go and touch somebody else. And there's a transformation. They touch somebody else. There's a transformation. And suddenly this whole move of God begins to multiply. I want to see things of God multiply. Amen. Amen. I want to see what we're doing here on a Sunday night and a Wednesday night. I want to see this grow. I want to see this explode. You know, it's not about a number. It's not about a head count. It's about seeing hearts and lives being transformed by the power of Almighty God. That's what it's about. Hello? That's what it's about. It's not about just filling the pews. Look, we could fill the pews with a bunch of deadheads and have dead meetings. I mean, that's very easy to do. Just don't let God show up. We can have a full house. But then nobody gets set free. Nobody gets healed, delivered, changed. Then we might as well just go and join a dead church somewhere down the road and just be a part of the furniture. Are you listening to me? I want to see revival. I want to see God shake the nation. Amen. Revival has to do with the church. That's what it is. Revival has nothing to do with the world. The world cannot be revived. The world has to be awoken to the things of God. The church has to be revived because the church was alive, then they died. Now God's reviving us and bringing us back into that close walk like he had with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. That's the relationship that God wants to have with us today. That same relationship of communion with man. So the church has to be revived so we can get back into the presence of God. When we get revived, then suddenly we look outside of the four walls and we start looking at the world and going after the world. And then comes a great awakening in the world. And then the world is awoken to God. Suddenly they realize He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the only God that is alive. And suddenly they're awoken, and then they receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and that's how God does it. He works through us. He works through the church. That's why we have to have revival, people. That's why we've got to see God come and revive the church. While we're being revived and while we're contending for this great move of God, there's many multiple people that are touched, even here at Calvary. They have a lot of people that go out on the streets witnessing and getting people saved Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday morning. And that's fantastic. That's fantastic. That's what it should be about. Amen. But on the whole, the church is actually sleeping. They've gone to La La Land somewhere. And the body of Christ needs a revival. Anglican, Methodist, Catholic, Presbyterian, Baptist, name it. We have to have revival. We've got to see God. We've got to see His glory. We've got to see His manifestation. Otherwise, we have nothing. Amen. And I tell you what, I see God strategically putting people in place. I really do. I really do. I see God's doing things, moving. He's moving people around and putting people in place for the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I wouldn't be at all surprised if many of you, when this wave comes, don't hit the ground running. I'm telling you. Hello? Some of you might find yourself on a foreign field somewhere, carrying revival to another nation. Come on now. With God, all things are possible. I said, with God, all things are possible. Amen. Hallelujah. Come here, both of you, quickly. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just lift your hands to heaven. Bless your holy name, Lord. Bless your holy name, Jesus. Bless your holy name, Jesus.